Thank you everyone for joining me today. I'm Danny Walsh, the Township Supervisor of Bloomfield, and this is In Focus. Today we're going to be talking about a subject that might not be fun to talk about, but we have to because we have to be prepared. We're going to be partnering with the Bloomfield Hills Schools, the Bloomfield Township Police, and the Bloomfield Township Fire Department to do what's called an MCI event. This is a mass casualty event, and it's a training to be prepared for the unthinkable. Growing up here in Michigan, I never thought that any of these school shootings would even become a thing, because in the 70s and 80s, that wasn't prevalent. As we grow up, we start seeing it in other states, and you thought it never would come here. That bubble burst on November 30th, 2021 with Oxford, and again on February 13th, 2023 with Michigan State. Those children are forever changed, and we need to make sure others don't face this. The problem is these kind of trainings with the MCI, which is something that our police and fire need to do to be prepared for the worst, you need a partner who also sees the vision of preparing for this. And luckily, we have today Pat Watson, our outgoing superintendent, who has been an amazing force for protecting the children in these events, and he has been the one who has helped to bring us together so that Bloomfield Hillside would give us not only the location, but access to make this as real as possible. So I want you today to welcome Pat Watson, and he's here to talk to us about our events and our partnership.
So I'm doing well. How are you? And happy to be here. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So what is it that made you decide this is something that we need to partner on together?
You know, as I reflect on my 30 years in education, we've always said, and we always firmly believe, that safety and security is number one. And what safety and security looks like now is quite a bit different. The possibilities of a mass casualty incident, and it doesn't have to be a first-person shooter. There are other things that can occur, but of course, that's what comes to top of mind. These mass shootings are happening everywhere. They're happening in grocery stores, in places of worship. I think of the concert in Las Vegas where the concert goers were just going. And so that is the reality in which we live. And so I know internally and for myself, I felt we needed to be more prepared. As a superintendent, if anything were to happen and a parent came to me and said, "Do you think you did everything you could to make sure we were prepared?" I need to be able to say yes. Without doing something like this and actually doing the training, I don't feel I could say yes. I don't feel we as a district could say yes. And it's not just school-based. The whole idea of being prepared for a critical incident, as I've just kind of laid out, could happen anywhere at any time. The Mall of America, you name it, it's happened. We watch this on the news almost every week when there's another mass shooting. How are you going to react? Do you know what to do? If you're going to have success in anything, you prepare, right? If you're a good student, you know how to study, you prepare. If you're a good athlete, you're preparing. To not prepare for something like this, which is in the realm of possibility, either in someone's school, you know, any of our schools, or in your life somewhere, would be, I felt, and internally felt, a disservice. And it also provided the opportunity to work with, you know, our extended partnerships, with you, with the fire department, with the police department, and actually have everyone in the building training together. Because if something were to happen, these are the people coming together. Right. And we'd much rather have a dry run, so to speak, in our buildings, real time, where we're not sure what the critical incident's going to be, and we all have to react and practice, so that it's not the first time we're all together. Yeah. I mean, even working with the fire chief and the police chief, we've made sure that the fire department and police department all have fobs now, so they can enter our buildings anytime. Walk in, you've got the midnight shift, walk in, because you don't know who might be working a certain day. Again, we don't want the first time that people, you know, the fire department, the township, the police department is really in our building organized to be if there's a critical incident.
Correct.
We want everyone in multiple times so that everyone knows where to go. Everyone's prepared. You've been in the building. Oh, I can't take that hallway because I know it's shorter to go this way. It's a shortcut. Those are things that are really important.
And you've given us such great access for the training that I know in previous summers, we've done some trainings with the police of what would happen, and they've gone through and gotten used to the building. But the blue light, which the blue light was the alarm that children or teachers or any worker can pull in the schools, much like a fire alarm, but it goes off when there's an assailant or a threat to the children. When that accidentally went off, was that in 20?
It was December of 2019.
2019. That was our first, thank goodness, just practice, because it was an accident. But it does show you that even if the best practice, when you add an even larger element to it, that's when you see what else could happen. So we always look at that as that pre-training, where although the problem with that is it was not known that it was fake, so it was traumatizing. Right. So, but it gave us that idea of what if we could partner with one of the schools and know that this is coming. It's on August 30th. I don't want to quote the wrong date. August 30th, 2023, from 7 a.m. to noon, so that the community knows it's not an active shooter, so that we are, but we can treat it as one in training and have the chaos that comes with a real, or even as our fire department asked for. I had to look up the word, because I did not know what moulage meant. I thought I was a theater kid, but I wasn't apparently. And it's different when they're doing their trainings and they have somebody acting and it has pinned on like gunshot, but it's a pin. It's not as scary, in a sense of they have to get used to it for police and fire knowing when they have to walk past somebody. And that's not easy for a first responder whose first inclination is to help.
Right.
So when they have to, in training, walk past somebody who is now has the makeup to look like a gunshot, to look like they have been hurt, it is so much harder in these mass casualty incidents because they have to sometimes walk by. So it gives us that extra level of training that we wouldn't have access to if it weren't for your partnership, because your teachers have stepped up to an unbelievable level where we were hoping for maybe 100, maybe 150. And I believe, is it about 600 now have signed up? And that, even the chaos of where they're running, shows us where to protect for the future. So if it weren't for your partnership of going even past the access, now we'll be even more prepared. And each time we call them mistakes to learn from, but each mistake does let us know in a practice, okay, this was a mistake because we didn't know this area is where somebody would run. Now we need to protect that. And each time we'll get better, but it wouldn't happen if it weren't for that access and your teacher stepping up and saying, it's unfair that a teacher needs to be put in this position. I have family that are teachers, and it is sad that this has come to their lifestyle too.
But that's the reality, right?
But they will protect those children.
And so to not prepare would be a disservice to our staff, students, the community.
Right.
Right. So I think back to after the shootings at Michigan State. Yeah. What really resonated with me hearing some of the students speak were the ones who said, when we heard there was an active shooter, we knew exactly what to do.
Right.
That's the training piece. Right. And while we're doing this and the scenario is going to be whatever it's going to be, and we won't know ahead of time, it doesn't mean it's always going to be that scenario. So I think it's important as part of the training, we also realize that information changes your situation. Correct. So each time, if something does occur or if it's a training, that information is going to dictate your situation in real time. And again, these aren't just things that could be beneficial to train for in school. Anytime you're out and about, if something were to occur, you're going to fall back on this training of what to do. Where are your exit points? Do you run? Do you fight? Do you hide? Those type of decisions. It is unfortunate. It is unfair what we're asking our staff to do.
But they're stepping up.
And they're great.
Yeah.
But think of the burden that is now put on teachers.
Right.
You know, I think back to the early 90s when I was a young puppy coming in as a teacher. And what is my job, principal? I just need you to go in your classroom and teach. That's it.
Right.
Just teach the kids in front of you, Pat. That's all we need you to do.
Yeah.
That's not where we're at right now. Not as the school district, not as a society. And I'm not sure if the tide is ever going to switch back. But I circle back to what I said at the beginning. We talk about safety and security being number one. We need to be as prepared as possible if something were to happen. And we all, you know, are hopeful it never will in our life or anywhere we're at. But if we're prepared, that gives our students and our staff the best opportunity to come out of it the way they want to come out of it if something were to happen.
And we're giving the training and lessons to ourselves, to our staffs, and to our departments, not just for if, God forbid, something happened here. But when we think about those other two incidents, we had police and fire in Oxford. Some of them were some of the first on scene because they live near Oxford. And then we also had police that had gone out and fire that went out to Michigan State. So even though it's not happening here, the training they're receiving, they bring out there. And sadly, that's also with the children and teachers who have Oxford. Some of them were at Michigan State. It is a shame that a child needs to be put in that position, but those children knew how to tell people where to go. So at least with it being training, if this happens at another college, at another school, whether it's a teacher that's transferred or a student that's in a new school or a policeman or a fireman that's nearby, they've got it inside to help those that haven't had this training, because this is quite an undertaking. We'll have about 600 from your side.
Right.
We'll have over 100 police and fire there, 100 police officers. I don't want to misquote the numbers, but I know there's multiple agencies coming because we are treating this as a real event where it's going to bring in our partners, because everyone will come.
It will be full.
Yes.
Full scale. We firmly believe this will be the gold standard nationally for how you train. We really believe that to be the case. And it needs to be that partnership. Right. We're very fortunate in Bloomfield that whether it's working with you in the township, working with the fire department, working with the police department, everyone agree. So often it feels like we don't agree with anything in society. You know, we can't dialogue. It becomes all monologue. But there's not one community member in the Bloomfield area that I've talked to who hasn't said, keep the kids safe.
Right.
I want the kids to be able to go to school and just learn and not worry about all these different things. What can you do to make the building safer?
Right.
Everyone agrees on that. There's no debate.
Right.
So at the end of the day, there are going to be mistakes that are made when we run this training. Everything's not going to go smooth. That's no different than anything you train for in life. Right. There's going to be hiccups along the way. I'm looking forward to those mistakes because that's how you learn. You learn from mistakes. So it might be, hey, we should have entered this way from a police perspective. From the school district perspective, it might be, you know what? If there's going to be a critical incident, it's important that we don't do this next time, right? That debriefing and that training, I'm hopeful that this will be an every year thing. Again, if you're a good student, if you're a good athlete, if you're good at your job, you're always doing professional development. You're always training. And we can continue to say, it's unfortunate that we're spending part of a day doing this when we should talk about just instruction. But this is an important piece. Because if you don't have that safety and security, that basic need, then how do you move forward?
Right.
And I know after the mass shooting in Oxford, and we moved to Alice and we did some additional trainings. I heard from a lot of our staff members said, that's great. We need to practice, right. Like real practice, not like a fire alarm practice. Like today at noon, there's going to be a fire alarm. Right. Make sure you let the kids know. Be ready to stop instruction. Okay, I'm going to pull the fire alarm, right?
Right.
It needs to be that unknown. And how do you react? And then how do you process it afterwards? Right. Again, to not do it, I think, would be a disservice. So the best part is going to be that debriefing afterwards. And what could we have done differently? How can we evacuate better? Are our rally points as good as we want? Did we get our buses there on time? You made this decision. Kind of walk me through the process of what you were thinking when you made that. Well, I thought because of the critical incident that I could have done this. But now that I see how that played out, if the same sort of thing would have happened, I would do it a little bit differently. I would move my students, which will be teachers, I would have moved them to this area and done this instead, right? Mm-hmm. That's all key.
And you pointed out earlier, which is very key, is that it's only a small group of us in that room that know what the scenario is. And Mike Buchek and Ryan Smith, they have come together to write a scenario and work with Pat Sidge.
Right, who's our Administrator of Public Safety. That's a position we added about a year and a half ago.
Right.
So he's a retired detective from Farmington Hills Police. He had also worked at Farmington Hills Harrison High School for over a decade as a resource officer. His only job is to find ways to make our district safer for our children. Right. Right? That's a different type of training. I don't come to work every day with the training that says, oh, this should be changed because it's not safe. We should move this here. I'm thinking from that instructional lens. That was my background. So that's been a great addition for us. So he's helping really run this and oversee this. He's also made some other great changes that provide additional layers of safety. Right. You know, he's moved us to a brand new walkie-talkie system. You're like, oh, great, you've got walkie-talkies. Haven't you always had those? Yes, but there were dead spots, like right. where South Hills Middle School is going to be. There were spots where you couldn't communicate. Right. Well, that's a problem if you have a spot in your building you can't communicate, right? He identified that right away, came up with a solution. And just a lot of those things that you may not think of, that's the lens he comes from. Right. So, you know, he advises all the administrators and works with teachers on best practices for safety and security.
Yeah. And there's the three of them are the key. There's probably, what, about 15 people. And so when people say, well, you know it's coming, or you know when it's happening, they don't know what, or they don't fully know when, because it's between 7 and noon, and they don't fully know what. And there's almost 1,000 people. So only 15 or so know this is as close to real as you can get in a sense of it's an incident, nobody knows what to expect, and there's going to be chaos.
Exactly.
Right. And frankly, we need that to get the best training. Which is why we're also going to be closing off some of the streets and such, because no matter how much we warn people this is coming, there's always that chance someone doesn't know and they try and come and pay their tax bill. Or right. they, which we all hate doing, but it's around that time.
Right,
because it is due right then. And then you also have people who might be just trying to go to the senior center not knowing it's closed, or, you know, coming to an event. So we're going to be kind of blocking that off to keep that out, because that could be a danger where somebody who doesn't know kind of gets in the way. And we don't want them also traumatized of what they see. Because this, again, there's going to be some reality put into this that isn't typically done. I know the fire department was very excited because they said that that will help them tremendously to be able to see that. And then the debrief, as you mentioned, it's not just the actions, but look what we did good. We're going to keep doing that. Look what we need next. And that kind of training we just couldn't get if it weren't for everybody from your side coming in.
So think about this. Whenever there's a critical incident, time is of the essence. Literally every second matters and can be life and death, right? That's the reality. I hate to put it out. That is the reality of it. Yeah. We're going to have all these other parties from Oakland County coming in. Therefore, if there ever was a critical incident, all the mass responders, the majority of them, it will not be their first time in our building.
Right.
They will have already been in our building and have that in their memory, you know, hopefully long-term memory of what the building looks like, where the entry points are, how, you know, all the doors are numbered. Door number 15. Yep, I remember that from training. I know where to go. I'm going right to door number 15 and not having to guess. Right. We're moving to the G wing now. Yep, I've been there. I know where the G wing is. I know how to get there. There's 3 entry points in order to go. Right. The value of that is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm very proud of the partnership. I'm very proud that as a district, we're trying to lead the nation. And it's not just with the part of the critical incident, which could be an active shooter. But, you know, by bringing in our school nurse, Deb Glazer, and making sure we're training staff for stop to bleed, you know, making sure that we have AED in every building and everyone's trained, and doing additional CPR training, and what happens if somebody's in diabetic shock? How do you administer an EpiPen? There's adult and child doses. Like, those are things that more readily happen.
So those are the trainings you're doing prior to the event.
We've been doing those since we brought them. That's all part of the safety and security, with the hope of when our students go to school, they can just learn. You know, so often, you know, I walk to school backwards in snow 4 miles. Right. I truly believe that someone that grew up in the 70s and 80s, it is much more challenging for the kids to grow up nowadays. You know, whether it's the social media and the research coming out on that, if you look at the mental health impact, it's pretty devastating. Right. They're also competing with people all over the world for jobs. Mm-hmm. I didn't worry about that. when I first came out to Oakland County and I came out this way where I was interviewing, I had never heard of before. Right. You know, when I met my wife, she goes, oh, I'm from Berkeley. I'm like, oh, that's great. Why'd you come from California to Michigan? No, Berkeley, Michigan. You know, I lived in Ann Arbor. I had my own little bubble. Now with our students, their bubble is the world,
right?
So it's incumbent on us as adults to give them the best possibility to be successful and live a happy, healthy, and safe life.
Right.
And this is why it's important.
I think it is amazing, too, to see that how you've all joined in on this and what kind of trainings we can do. I know some of the questions that you've kind of answered already, you know, we always have our list of questions, but one of, you know, what kind of training and has there been training prior? You know, you've been able to mention some of the things that you've done. I know some people want to know, too. So we do all this training. This one's even larger. What happens if something happens during the event? Let's say someone's actually injured during the event. They trip down, you know, you're running with a lot of people down the stairs or going here. We do want to let people know that we, our 911 service will still be up and running. We are fully staffed and prepared because we did have some people call in to make sure of what will happen if something happens in the township. The township will still be safe. If the worst happens and somebody falls down stairs, we will also be there to help because, again, we don't want anybody hurt. This is about training. Have you talked with your staff about, you know, what to expect that day? Like, I know how we've prepared on our side because we've had meetings and such, but how are you working with, I mean, these teachers are amazing the way they stepped up. Honestly, we didn't expect the kind of response, but these are teachers and they always step up. So what kind of training for this event? So prior to the event, what are you doing to kind of help get them ready and prepare them for what's coming?
Well, I think one of the keys is to fall back on the training we've had, which is the ALICE training.
Right.
We moved to ALICE training. It is very succinct in what we try to do. It's one thing to watch a module on, you know, a video screen and answer some questions. It's another thing to sit in a staff meeting and have Pat Sidge or somebody talk to you about ALICE. It's another thing to go out and actually try to perform during that event. Right? You can study for the AP Chem test forever, but eventually you got to take the test.
Right.
You can practice for the softball game forever. Eventually you need to get in the batter's box and see if you can hit that drop pitcher. Right? So I'll use those two different analogies. There's not special training for this outside of ALICE.
Right.
ALICE is to prepare for this type of, now you get to practice and see if you're really ready. I do want to circle back to one other thing I haven't touched on as much as I want to, which is the partnership. Because I think it's for the community to know, especially with the police department. When we think back to the mass shooting that occurred at Oxford, I think it's important for the community to know that after that time, we had all these additional threats going on at schools. The information I was able to get from the township police department was way better than what most of my colleagues got. I got nonstop text messages, emails, phone calls about everything that came up. Anytime something was posted, immediately everything was dropped and was taken care of.
Right.
So again, these partnerships don't exist everywhere the way they do here.
Right.
And one of the things I really, really love about my time in Bloomfield is these partnerships. Right. Because it's focused on what we should all focus on. It's focused on the kids.
Right.
So often as adults, we let our issues, our problems, our concerns get in the way of doing what's best for kids sometimes.
Right.
Or maybe not doing what's best, taking the focus off where it needs to be. This focus is on keeping our staff and students safe.
Right.
Everyone's coming together for that one goal on that one day. And that's key.
And you mentioned the partnership is key, and it truly is. As somebody who grew up in the district, you know, kindergarten, actually preschool all the way through, because we were there even at 4 because I was a little younger, but from all the way up through high school, the police have always had that partnership where we had those liaison officers. The one sad reality is our children and our seniors have always been a target. Mm-hmm. So although each generation, the threat changes, you know, we didn't have mass casualty incidents when we were younger, we had kidnappings. It was the Oakland County child killer. It was the reminders to your parents at 9 p.m. Do you know where your kids are? You know, because it was also a different world where we were playing outside and we were around. So I know growing up, the police were very important because they would come to our schools. I remember being at Booth School, which is now where the administration is, and they would come in and like take one of the kids. We'd have a group meeting in the library, and they would say, okay, look around, who's missing? You know, think about what was he wearing? So no matter what the threat is, the schools have always allowed the police in as that partnership with the liaison officers and now the security officers. And the kids have always seen that there's a safety in that police officer as well. You know, as kids, we're always told, if you ever get lost, look for a mom or a police officer, because a mom will help protect you and a police officer. So that's the way you grew up. And that wasn't always the same in other places because there wasn't that access and right. that partnership. So it is sad that there's always been, I don't understand the hatred in some people that allows them to hurt children, but it's sad that we have to keep preparing, but I'm thankful that you guys understand it. And the district has always understood it. As somebody who lived it on both sides, it is special.
Right. And it does some additional us. Updates going as well, yeah. right? Besides the mass casualty event that we're going to have, right. you know, our buildings are moving to secure vestibules, you know, the extra layer. So you okay. have to buzz to get in, and then you're locked in a breezeway. At that point, we can either buzz you into the office or buzz you into the school. That's okay. going to be key. We're adding additional cameras, right. Which allows for better visibility on our end, be able to capture images if necessary. Again, all sad things we have to talk about, right. but we have to be realistic. We have to, again, prepare for the world in which we live. Yeah. And when the world changes, hopefully in a different direction when it comes to these mass shootings, then maybe we change and do something right. different. But that's not now. And that's not where we're at.
Right.
And like you said, proud of the teachers that are willing to be part of the training.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Right. And know that this is going to be something that benefits them, benefits the right. students, can benefit them later if they're someplace else. You know, my daughter was at the parade in Wisconsin a couple of years ago where that tragedy happened. Oh, wow. Right. So again, some of my former students live in Illinois, were at the parade where that shooting took place.
Right.
Right. We can see her name incident after incident after incident right. of the mass shooting, you know, the grocery store in Buffalo, you know, the South, church in South Carolina where people were worshiping and a first person shooter came. We can name them over and over and over.
Right.
Again, I'll reiterate, the training is going to be key.
Yeah.
It's something we have to do. And it has to be with all of our partners. It needs to be a real simulation for people to get an idea of what this mass chaos might look like and how do you move within it? How do you make decisions in real time at that second that are imperative? It all falls back on your training.
And we're trying, you've mentioned this is something we can help at a national level of being a gold standard. I know I also appreciate that you're letting us kind of get it from the back perspective too, for those that see it from the final, but us to see what goes into this. How could this happen? How could someone replicate this training in their area? So that kind of information that we're gonna be able to help share with other police departments is going to help save lives, not just here, but right. elsewhere. And again, that is something that we just can't make up without you. I'm so thankful that you have always seen this. Because you and I kind of started during the worst time to start any administration. I always make jokes that you yeah. and the chiefs and I, the police and fire chiefs, Leroy and Gallagher, we only know chaos.
Right.
We started during COVID. I've heard rumors that it used to be a really easy job and there wasn't a lot of activity and nothing to worry about for both of us, right? And now you think, gosh, we've been through a global pandemic together.
Right.
We've been through, sadly, other mass casualties that affected right. our people together.
It's been a lot.
It has been. It has right? been a lot.
And I was naive when we shut schools in COVID. I had only worked in Bloomfield Hills schools for 59 days.
Yes.
Right? And so yes. I'm like, okay, we're going to be shut for a week or two. No big deal. Like, I didn't sense the gravity in the moment. Like,
correct.
We're not coming back.
Yes.
Like, the world is forever going to change. So, yeah, it's been an interesting time. But one thing I learned early in education is that if you always try to focus on students and tune out the other noise,
right.
you're more likely to be successful in anything you do in education. So right. I've heeded that advice since day one. And if you're going to err in favor of the student.
Right.
Those two pieces of advice Dr. Seymour Gretschko gave to me 30 years ago as a young 20-year-old coming out of college and said, if you want to be successful in education, those are the two things you need to know. And, you know, I hope to some extent I've lived up to his expectations. As you know, he's kind of a legend in Oakland County. Yeah. And I was a longtime superintendent and well-respected individual.
Yeah. Well, I personally want to not just thank the Bloomfield Schools, but also you. Because again, this partnership, when I'm always like, oh, I'll just call Pat.
Yeah.
That's something that doesn't exist in most places. I hope that the next person that sits in your seat is just as open as you are to protecting children, to partnerships with the township, to the accessibility that you've given yourself to us, to the community. I personally know what it feels like to be attacked the way you have been. I think you handled it with grace. Sometimes it's really hard for us to sit back and let people create a false story of ourselves, but good people know that those of us who know us best. You have handled everything with grace, and we'll miss you terribly.
I appreciate it.
Tried to make it through this without, it was a bad enough subject to talk about, but talk about losing. Your partnership has done so much for this community.
Well, thanks. You know, relationships matter. You know, if you're going to be successful, it's about relationships. And, you know, Danny's definitely not goodbye. You know, I know today's
been last day. Oh, no, I still am going to get you back on a fun show, by the way, people. I swear I'm over having to only have bad news. We're going to have a fun show.
It's more see you later.
Yeah.
I'll still be around. And, you know, and I've shared this with a couple of board members as well. There's everything or anything I can ever do that would benefit students.
Right.
Happy to help. I'll still be working with some of the students. I'm very interested in college admissions. I've dealt in that process. So I have a group of students I'll be working with on that moving forward as well.
Good.
Sorry about this. Some other things that I'll be involved in around the district as well. So again, thank you. Not goodbye, but until we see each other again.
And if you could give a little shout out to the next person, say, please keep this going. I know the people that you work with, they have been amazing too, whether it's Karen or Keith or anybody that we've had to work with over there. They get it. And the partnership goes so much deeper than you and I.
Right.
It goes truly to all levels. Now we have Carrie talking with Karen, and that can only get better.
But think at the end of the day, what are we really partnering on? What are we really talking about? Again, it's the kids.
Yeah.
Right. I keep coming back to that because at the end of the day, that's all that matters if you're in education. That has to be your priority. And it's easy to say, right, oh, kids are important, right? But actions speak louder than words.
Right.
And it's important for us as a school district for our actions to speak louder than our words and continue to focus on our students. Does that mean everyone likes every decision? No, of course not, right? Someone once told me, if everyone's happy with all your decisions, you're not doing your job.
Or you're not making any decisions.
Right. Yeah.
There are some people who would rather not make a decision just to be not attacked. But frankly, if you're doing the right thing, you just get used to it.
Right.
And you did a great job for us. So
Thank you.
And then to the community, I want to also make sure that I don't miss any of these important dates and information. Again, we're doing our MCI is the mass casualty incident. It's going to be on August 30th, 2023. It'll be from 7 a.m. to noon. So there will not be access to our senior center will be closed at that time. Our township hall will be closed during those hours. So again, I know some people might have been coming in to come to the treasurer's office or clerks, but that morning it will be shut down for your safety. So please accommodate by coming the day before or later that afternoon. And we just want to make sure that to thank all of our partners in the police department, the fire departments that are also coming from other areas and the community. Because again, giving us the grace to shut down for these few hours to protect you in the long run, that's something that is special to this community. So again, thank you, Pat, and thank you to the Bloomfield Hills Schools, to the teachers, to the staff, to our fire department, our police department, and everybody who's a part of this. It will be quite an event, and we hope that we'll learn a lot from it. So thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.